Morning.
Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
You're the first one here.
Okay.
Ruby.
Good evening.
Good evening, Hanak. Are we the only two on?
No, there's Hannah's on also, so we're going to start now.
Okay, I'm going to mute.
Can you join me in playing me on a Bakoa?
Okay.
On a Bakoa. Gedulat Yamincha. Tatir Serura Alphet Gimel Yutah Tzadi Kabel Rinat Amchasag Benu Taharenu Nora Kufar Shayan Sintet Nun Nagibor Dorshe Yehudcha Kivavat Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin Barchen Tacharem Rachame Sidkarcha Tamid Gamrem Betet Resh Tzadi Taf Gimel. The letters of the month of Av, the Kaf that created the planet Shemesh, or Chama, the planet we call the Sun, and the Tet that created the constellation Aryeh, the Lion, which is the astrological sign of Leo. Chasin Kadosh, Berov Tucha, Nae Adata Tet Kuf Bet Tet Nunayan Yachid Gea Lamcha Pene Zokre Kidushata Yud Gimel Lamed, Zion Kuf. Shavatenu Kabel, Ushma Yakatenu, Yodea, Kalubo, Chim Kufav, Tzadiyotah. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We're now going to separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation. Adonai Yohei Wahei. Adonai Yohei Wahei. Elachum V'chanun. Erech Apayim. Derav Chesed V'emet. Notzer Chesed La'alafim. Nesayawon wafesha v'chata'a v'nakei. We're now going to connect to the energy of the year of the goat, the year 5777. There are two verses in the Tanakh that connect to this energy. The first is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52. And we'll start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kud shabarichu ishkinte b'chilu. Erchimud chilu chilu erchimu. Li'achda l'shem yud hei b'vav hei. B'yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah. Lasok Torah mitzvah. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Adeinu Konenei Aleinu Maasei Adeinu Konenehu. Tzod Saduni Katzipor Oyevai Finam. When we take the first letters of these words, of this verse, we're able to create Tzatzki Ach, three Hebrew words that translate as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters, we're able to permit these words into Dir Yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. The second verse that connects to this energy of the goat is Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. In this verse, the name of the year, Tashin Ayin Zion, is concealed. So the letters of the word of the name of the year are separated by seven letters each. Kim ba Adonai Yohei Wahei Elohechem Tadebaku Kasher Asitem Ad Hayom Hazeh. We're now going to connect to the year of the pause, the year 5776, where there are also two verses that connect to this energy. The first is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Raka kohanim hayu limat velo yachlu lehavshit. Et kol ha'olot vayechaskum achechem ha'levim ad kelot hamlacha yad yitkadshu ha'kohanim ki ha'levim yishrei levav lehitkadesh me ha'kohanim. There are 25 words in this verse. When we take the first letters of these words, we're able to permute them into eight names of God. Adonai Yohei Wahei Lalahei Wawawa Yola Yolame Hei 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 Aka'a Reka'a. The next verse, the same second verse connecting to the year of the pause, is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bidchu ba'ad Adonai, Yohewahey, Ade Adekibiyah, Yohey, Adonai, Yohewahey, Tzur Olamim. The year 5775 has the energy of swallowing death forever. There are three verses that connect to this energy. The first is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishem imeni, lo tarpeni ad biliruki. The second verse we study, connecting to this energy of swallowing death forever, 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru, udu, mikol hamachavoiya, asher yitchabe sham ushaltem, eilai el nachum, kuhalati itchem, wichayayim yeshno. Baretz v'hipasti oto b'kol alfei Yehuda. And the third verse is also from Job. It's chapter 20, verse 7. Keger lo lanetzach yoved roav yomru ayo. And the year 5774 has the energy of peace in the Middle East. The one verse in the Tanakh that has this energy is 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wasam ti makom le'ami le'Yisrael unta ti v'shakan ta'akta v'lo yirgaz od velo yosifu, v'nei avla la'anoto ka'asher barishona. We're now going to read a verse from the Zohar that connects to the energy of certainty. This comes from Parasha Yitro, it's Pasuk 29. Rabbi Abamar v'kamatar taneinan dekudsha Barichu koma de aved le'ela witata kolaihu kishot biovada dikshot beleid lach mila bialma divae barnash ledach ya leya mineya ulan haga beya kalana Dehakulu ovada, dikshot inun, wikola itzderif, bialma. We're now going to connect to the 72 names of God, and we will say these names utilizing the root vowel of each letter. Wahe wayolayo sayote alame. Mehe shila lahe aka ake ka heta. He zayo alada la awa he hea. Yozala bebe he. He reyo he kome. La awa kalayo la wawa pe hela. Nulacha yo 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 me la hey 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 wa nuta hey hey a yo rate yo reta shi a hey re yo yo a wa me la ka be wa shi re yo hey wa la hey hey ko. Kawatro menuda anu yo he ame re he a yo yoza he 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 me yo ha wa wa la yo la he sa la re yo a shila me yo hey wa hey wa danu hey danu yo hey hey shi ame me nu na wa nu yo ta me be hey pe wa yo nu me me yo yo la hey re hey me tsa re wa me be yo hey hey a nu wa me hey yo ta me be me nu ko a yo a hey be wa re a hey yo be me hey yo yo me wa me. The 72 names of the Tzaddikim. Again, we will say the names with the root vowel of each letter. Wa 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 yo 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 sa be te a a me me be shi la yo hey anu a kya me ta hey hey yo anu da la hey wa me me a. Yo tsa la me re he, hey yo yo hey me me, la wa wa ka be yo, la yo wa pe nu la, nu me ha yo he yo, me nu he he he, hey wa, nu yo he he shi ya, yo we ta shi ya he. Ra la yo awa me la yo be wa he re yo yo wa la he he ka ako me nu da anu yo he wa me re he a yo he za he shi yo he me ka ha wa wa la yo yo he. Sa a la re yo, a a la me ta hey. Wa he wa da la yo, hey yo shi a la me. Nu he a nu wa ta, me la hey pe a yo. Nu ko me yo re la, hey be hey me za re. Wa he be yo a hey. Ala wa me za yo, da he be me kako, ala a he he wa. Re la he yo yo me, he la yo me he me. And the names of the Tzaddikim who left this day, the 16th day of Av, Rabbi Moshe Pirdo, Rabbi Bechor Aaron Alachadif. In the eighth verse of the Anna Bekoach, we say in a whisper. Today's class is studying, continuing the lessons in Tuv Haaretz, the good of the land of Israel. We're going to find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in row 19, the right-hand column. The link will say it is Tuv Haaretz, the goodness of the land of Israel landing page. When you open that up, scroll down to class 8B. Which will start in chapter 10, section 1. And the title of the section, Manna and the Fruits of Israel. The fruits for which Israel is famous are rooted in the spiritual worlds. We must ask the following: why was the land of Israel deprived of the manna? The answer to that question is as follows. In the desert, everything of a physical and materialistic nature stems from external forces. those entities are essentially impure and grow in a land that is ruled upon by foreign archangels. Therefore, the fruits that grow there cannot be worthy vessels to contain the spirit of holiness. This is because an impure body cannot become the vessel for the spirit of holiness. If there were to be some holiness in its fruits and food products, they would be provided for by their evil spiritual rulers. Yet that possibility could not exist when it came to manna. This is because the manna comes from heaven, a place where the forces of the foreign archangels have absolutely no grasp. The very same spirituality that was enveloped by the manna is enclosed by the fruits of Israel. Nonetheless, the fruits of the land of Israel stem from holiness. Therefore, the very same spirituality that was enveloped by the manna is enclosed by the fruits of Israel. That is why no manna fell in the land of Israel. That is also why the after blessing for fruits of the seven species in the land of Israel concludes upon her fruits, as opposed to upon the fruits. This indicates that the holiness of the land resides in her fruits, alone, and not the fruits that grow outside the land of Israel. My beloved Ramaz, Rabbi Moshe Zacuto, his comments: the understanding of this is the entire purpose for our existence is to sift out the sparks of light that have fallen into the realms of inanimate, plant, animal, and human. This is part of the mystery of the 288 sparks that remained from the days of Adam. Therefore, even into the Garden of Eden, the manna didn't descend for Adam. Rather, he was commanded as a positive mitzvah to eat from all the fruits of the garden, as per Rabbeinu Bachya's explanation. Yet in the desert, the sprouting of fruits is supernatural, as it is not the essential function of the desert to contain those sparks. Yet the manna fell for the Jews in the desert, for they had shed their defilement at the giving of the Torah on Mount Sinai. I am adding, the manna fell prior to the giving of the Torah, yet after the majority of the Sefirot are cleansed through the counting of the Omer. Note, the 288 sparks. According to the Ari, this entire process of death and resurrection is hinted at in the word merachefet. The first and last letters of this word spell met, meaning dead. The three remaining letters are resh, pei, or fei, and chet. The numerical value of these three letters is 288. These are the 288 sparks of holiness that resided within the vessels that shattered at the beginning of creation. The symbolic significance of the number 288 is alluded to in the word Ibur, whose numerical value is also 288. Ibur means gestation or pregnancy, thus indicating that the broken vessels with their 288 sparks are similar to seeds that are planted in the ground. Although they may appear to be rotting, they are going through a process that is necessary in order to bring forth new life. The 288 sparks thus represent the profound concept of death and resurrection. Our task is to rectify these sparks. This is the end of the note. There exist 10 different fruits which correspond to the 10 sephirot. Rav Chaim Vital has written, there are 30 species of fruit that grow in the land of Israel. Each species has many differing types, and this can be seen from the 70 types of dates derived from the verse and the 70 date trees. Behold, in the realm of Briah, there exist 10 different fruits which correspond to the 10 sephirot of Briah. Since they are distant from impurity and are close to Atzilut, these fruits have neither shell nor pit. They can be eaten entirely. The numerous strange types of fruit mentioned here are difficult to identify with modern terms. Please forgive this. Please understand this. They are the grapes, figs, apples, etrogs, lemons, and I am adding, while the shell can be eaten today, this is generally not done, due to this taste. Pears, quinces, berries, and I am adding. In Hebrew, there is no separate words for different berries. Berries are identified by color or other physical attributes. Surabis, and I am adding. Surabis is a cooked food from Thailand, so is not recognized generally as a fruit. And I recommend, please refer to the apology above. Carobs. There are 10 fruits correlating to the 10 sephirot of Yetzirah, being that they are rooted from a place which is not too close to the impurity, yet they aren't so close to Atzilut either. Therefore, they have an inedible pit. They are olives, dates, cherries, sophias. This is an unknown fruit translation. It has no modern usage except as an environmental usage. Prishkut, Sirulas, and I am adding again another unknown fruit translation. It has no modern usage. Apricots, Jindas, I am adding an unknown fruit translation with no modern usage. Acroniat, and I am adding again unknown fruit translation, but the same word is used in other languages. Juspulas, and I am adding unknown fruit translation with no modern usage. The 10 fruits that correspond to the 10 sephirot of Asiyah are surrounded by an inedible shell. This is so being that it's in close proximity to the realm of impurity. The shell acts as a protective barrier, preventing the impurity from penetrating the holiness of the fruit. This is similar to the Yetzer Hara and the shell, the klipa that surrounds the nefesh of a person. And these 10 are as follows. Pomegranates, hazelnuts, almonds, chestnuts, Brazil nuts, alonim albutas, which is an unknown fruit translation, frishis, an unknown fruit translation, pinionas, probably a fruit or nut that looks like the outer section of a particular bird. Pistachios, meiosis, an unknown fruit translation. Their names and numbers I have received, yet their exact correspondence to their particular sephirot I have not received. Until a spirit shall descend upon us from above. Behold, the 10 fruits of Briah have had all waste removed, leaving them totally edible. Corresponding to them in the realm of the forces of impurity are the barren trees. They are entirely inedible, for they are like one big shell. Vegetables are not arrogant. In opposition to the 10 fruits of Yetzirah are their own pits. This relates to the situation where the fallen spark of holiness is so great that the shell cannot tolerate its light in her midst. Therefore, she closes in on herself and enters the middle of the light. The 10 fruits of Asiya, where the fruit is surrounded by the shell, are similar to where the shell has incorporated within itself a spark of holiness. Opposite those 30 fruits are another 30 that stem from the left side. They grow wildly on the trees of Taurus, the majority of which contain no real edible fruit. Rather, they are mostly shell. Therefore, the blessing recited over them is not creator of the fruit of the tree, not Bori Pri Hayetz. Rather, the blessing is that all comes into being via the power of speech. In Hebrew, that's She'akol Niyayah Devaro, which is a more general blessing applicable to any food. Anyone who is meticulous in his actions should refrain from eating them, since they signify the left side, the force of negativity. The total number of edible fruits in the ground, in Hebrew, ha'adama, that were created is 55, as is the value of the word ha'adama. Rather than those 55 types of vegetables, nothing is worthy of consumption. Being that the vegetables are low, close to the ground, they are not arrogant and are able to grow from any type of water. Are there any questions? Chapter 10, Part 2. The Reigns of Israel. Kabbalah details the various supernal sources of rain in the land of Israel. Know that everything God created, he created male and female. This was in order for them to multiply. Even water was created with both aspects. God created the firmament to separate between the two types of waters. Wheat is elevated above all other vegetables and can be considered as a fruit of the tree. Know that all the vegetables do not require male waters, which is Mayim Duchrim, to grow, for they can even thrive with the female waters, Mayim Nukvim. That is true due to their humility. The one exception is wheat, as will be explained shortly. Whereas fruit trees, which are tall, arrogant, will not produce fruits unless they receive male waters. The exception to this is the etrog. The reason for its exception is that it is the choicest of the fruit, for it can be consumed entirely, as well as its status of not being arrogant as the rest of the trees. Therefore, as our sages have said, the etrog grows on all waters, meaning whether male or female. I am adding, What is the difference between male and female waters? I have heard from other Kabbalistic sources that male waters come from above, like meteors and rain. Female waters rise from below, like springs and oceans. Wheat, since God has created it as the staple of nutrition, it is elevated above all other vegetables and can be considered as a fruit of the tree. Therefore, it will not produce fruit without male waters. That is why you might observe that some years, despite abundant rainfall, the land doesn't produce abundant crops, while in some years there might be a minimal rainfall, yet the crops abound. The wheat yield, however, depends upon male waters. Note, the fruit of the tree. There are opinions in the Talmud that the very tree of knowledge was a wheat tree. Likewise, in the future, the wheat plant will produce kernels the size of hot dog buns. Don't be troubled with the way crops grow in Egypt. Even though it is apparent that female waters from the Nile are responsible for the crops, it is not so. This is as our sages have taught, that each year during the season of the month of Tammuz, God places a rounded drop of male waters into the Nile. That drop is like the yeast in dough. It transforms all of the Nile's water to be considered as male waters. Therefore, Egypt doesn't require rainwater. The entire merit that Egypt has to constantly receive this yearly blessing is due to the prayers of Abraham. And this is indicated by the verse, "And Abraham rose in the morning and took some bread and a pouch of water and gave it to Hagar, who was formerly an Egyptian princess, placing it upon her shoulders." I will give you just mention something that I just learned today as I'm preparing the discussion of the year 5778. This verse, Genesis 21:14, if you exclude the first word, the rest of the verse has a gematria of 5778. And if you just look at the English translation, Abraham in the morning took some bread and a pouch of water and gave it to Hagar, who was formerly an Egyptian princess, and placing it upon her shoulder. Essentially, this is indicating the idea that Chesed, which is Abraham, will relate to the stranger, which is Hagar, during this coming year. Continuing to read. Part of this can be understood, being that the archangel of Ishmael, the son of Hagar, is Rahab, who is also the archangel of Egypt, and from the status of Egypt being second to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael stems from the realm of revealed lights. Therefore, her waters are mostly male. My beloved Ramaz, Rabbi Moshe Sakuto, commented that Hagar has the same numerical value as Rahab, with the kolel. The idea is that Egypt has a minimal quantity of male waters, for the force of Egypt stems from the nape, or the back, from the remnants of the world of concealment, where the majority is female waters. Yet Eretz Yisrael stems from the realm of revealed lights, Therefore, her waters are mostly male. Note, stems from the back. In Hebrew, the word is Oreph, which is spelled by the same letters of the title of the monarchs of Egypt, Paro. Just as Eretz Yisrael is the epitome of the purity and holiness, therefore she specifically is watered from the male waters. As it says, to the rain of the heavens you shall drink water. In order to fully understand this verse, one must open the wellsprings of his wisdom and the sources of his understanding, intelligence, and knowledge. I am adding, I have never seen this sequence before, understanding, intelligence, and knowledge. I think the word in Hebrew being translated as intelligence is sechel, which is usually translated as brains. The words are referring to Chachma, Bina, and Dat. If I am correct about Sechel, then the brains would refer to the upper three Sephirot of Keter, Chachma, and Bina, which are always in unity. Thus, the sequence is referring to all of the upper Sephirot, including Da'at. Know that there are many aspects of normal rains. In Hebrew, the word is geshamim, as well as many aspects of mighty rains. In Hebrew, the word is mata'ar, as is known from the intentions one has for the blessings over things enjoyed. The foundation of supernal wisdom is called the path. This path comprises of the elements of Av, Sag, Ma, and Ben. The word for path is Spiel, whose numerical value equals that of Geshem, meaning rain. Those are the rains of blessing from that foundation. Those rains are called male waters. If you were to combine the word Pele, meaning wondrous, with Spiel together, they equal the word Tena, 455. Tena is also equal to the full spelling of the name Echieh for the values which are 161, 143, and 151 for a total of 455. Interestingly, the Milui, alone with the letters of Echieh itself, for those three spellings equals 140, 122, and 130, which totals 392, which is the numerical value of the word geshamim, rains. This is what is meant by the verse that you were given Tena, your splendor above the heavens, hashamayim. In other words, being that Tena is the value of the three Echieh spelled out, whereas the heavens is just the Milui of those Echieh, that is why the verse says above the heavens, for that implies that Tena is more significant than the heavens. The numerical difference between the two is 63, which is representative of the three Echieh, each equaling 21, as well as Sag. The name Echieh is always signifying for Makif, surrounding light. I am adding, in modern times, water above the heavens is known to be the water that comes to the earth in the form of meteors that burn up in the atmosphere. This leaves the water in the form of vapor, which eventually solidifies into rain. The modern theory about the water cycle, which includes evaporation and rain and rivers running into the sea, plus the addition of the meteor water. In regard to Mata'ar, if we would exchange it into the Atbash code, we would arrive at Gani, my garden. This is the essence of the verse, I have arrived to my garden. For Gani is equal to the three Yechieh, 63. That is what Elijah meant in the verse. For God says to the snow, be land, and to the rain, Geshem. Be mighty rain, Mata'ar, as will be explained shortly. The way you get 63 out of Legani, or Vegani, is Gimel and Nun is 50, Gimel is 3, the Yud at the end is makes it 63. In the realm of Bina, rain has a different aspect. For when one would delve into the depths of Echieh, spelled out with the letter He, where the letter He is spelled by two He's, which is founded in Bina, its value is 232, according to the shape, to its shape. I am adding that 232 is the gematria of the word bracha, meaning blessing. The normal gematria of bracha is 228, but when you add a kolel for each letter, it becomes 232. For the four hays in the milui, each can be described in three shapes. The hay can either be drawn as a dalet with a vav, a dalet and a yud, or as three vavs. Together, their value equals 4 plus 6, 4 plus 10, and 6 plus 6 plus 6, equaling 42. When you multiply times 4, one for each of the hays in the milui, it becomes 168. Next, we will add the yud of the milui. That equals 20. Yet the dalet of the yud can be drawn as two vavs. Therefore, we add another 12, giving us 32. Together with the 168, it becomes 200. Then we can draw the aleph as yuds. This would allow another 20 for the yud vav dalet. Yet again, we can split that dalet into two vavs. Therefore, we will add another 12, again equaling 32. Adding to the 200, and altogether it equals 232. Yet we haven't finished, for we still have to contend with the lamed and the pei of aleph. Together with the aleph itself, they spell pele. That hints to the aspect of the narrow path. In Hebrew, the word is shabil, mentioned above, which is called wondrous. In Hebrew, pele, it is wondrous, for one can discern in it neither a beginning nor an end. And please note, the yud of the milui, yud, is spelled out. Yud is 10, vav is 6, and dalet is 4, totaling 420. And draw the aleph as two yuds. The letter aleph is shaped like a diagonal vav with one yud atop and one below the vav. This is known as the instruction of the eternal connection between Chokhmah and Bina. That is why that supernal path is described as wondrous, for it is the foundation of Chokhmah in the Yesod of Bina. Also, the three Echieh's mentioned above, which are the foundation of Bina, are bound to the path and Chokhmah. When one combines the 232 together with the Pele, it equals Geshem, 343. These are the night of rains, which are the Yesod of Bina, thus being called the female waters. And further, the crown of the Yesoda Bina contains within it the three Miluim of Echiyeh, whose numerical value equals Tena, 455. Behold, it is known that just as there exists Av, Sag, Ma, and Ben in the Chachma, and Bina and the Zeran Pin and Nukva, so too there are three Miluim of Eshiyeh, whose value is 161, 143, and 151, in the Chachma and Bina and Zeran Pin of Nukva. That is true, being that the holy name Eshiyeh that resides in Chachma only exists there on loan. Therefore, in our discussion, we will not deal with the Miluim Chachma. Rather, we shall discuss the three different Miluim. Firstly, the Miluim of Bina is filled with Chachma. She then provides the influence to Zeran Pin. Its numerical value is 160. The 160 of Chachma remains to itself. Consequently, Zeran Pin transfers the Milui that he received from Bina, yet its own Milui gets filled by means of the illumination of Bina to Rachel. At that time, the Echiyeh of Rachel gets filled. Subsequently, all three Miluim descended towards the worlds of Briah, Yetzirah, and Asiyah. And that is why the verse says, in the heavens, the words Bashamayim and above, for the three Miluim of Echiyeh have the numerical value of the word Bashamayim, and they are above Zeran Pin. This is because the three Echiyehs are in the Netzach Hod Yesod of Bina. They then become the Makifim of Zeran Pin. And this is true, being that the name Echiyeh is always signifying a Makif. Those three Miluim of Echiyeh are also, and upon the land below, for at the beginning they gather at the Yesod of Nukva. Afterwards they descend from below to the land, the worlds of Briah, Yetzirah, and Asiyah. When Malchut is receiving, she is considered feminine. Yet when she is influencing, she is considered male. The word Bashamayim with its kolel is equal to Geshamim, rains. And this is so, being that by means of the abundance of influence in the Malchut, that very influence goes out in the number of the form of Geshamim, rains. Behold, that when the Netzach Hod Yesod of Bina enter the realm of Rachel, they enjoy the Miluim of 161 and 151. Now that the Netzach Hod Yesod of Bina are no longer in Zeran Pin, therefore the Echiyeh of Zeran Pin is simple without the Milui. Therefore, all that Rachel receives from Zeran Pin is the simple Echiyeh. When you combine the two Miluim, 161 and 151, with the simple Echiyeh of 21, they total 333. And this equals the numerical value of Sheleg, which is snow. And I am explaining that the highest form of mikveh is done with and by freshly fallen snow. And it is called Gilgul HaSheleg, rolling in the snow. If you want more information about this, which cleanses sexual improprieties for lifetimes, give me a call or send me an email. Yet when Malchut receives the three Miluim, she in turn influences downwards. It is known that when she is receiving, she is considered feminine. Yet when she is influencing, she is considered male. That is why she takes for herself the level of masculinity from among the three miluim, which is the milui of 143. Then the influence that descends has the numerical value of Mata'ar, 249. There are occasions that the Malchut takes as part of the three miluim, whose value totals Geshamim, 393, equaling Gash, 303, one for the Kolel to get 304, from the two miluim of 161 and 143, which equals 304. Therefore, she only gives off to the realm below her, the aspect of Mayim, the remaining three letters of the word Geshamim. All of this is dependent on the actions of the awakening invested in the good deeds of the children of Israel down here in the world of Asiya. And I am adding, or questioning, do you now feel additional responsibility? Now, I realize I'm reading this very quickly. And it takes a lot of time to absorb this information and really take it into yourself so that you can utilize it. But it is well worth knowing. I'm continuing to read. I am adding, are you feeling additional responsibility? There are other times that the Malchut takes for herself of the three Miluim, the Milui of 161, and adds to it the 10 letters, giving us a total of 171. And this is similar to the concept of when the Ima loans her vessels to her daughter. That which remains to give over to the realms beneath her is Yore, the secondary range, whose value is the remainder of the 392 minus 171 or 221. Being that incorporated in that influence are aspects from Zeronpin and Nukva together. Therefore, it is Marve, literally saturating, from the same root as the word Yoreh, the land and the seeds planted there. In the merit of Sadaka, rains descend to the earth. Yet there are still occasions when the three Miluim of Eshie, before I continue, let me see how much longer this is. Yeah. We would not be able to finish this tonight. So we will pick this up the next time, probably the coming Sunday at our 3 p.m. class. Does anyone have any questions? As I said, I know this is very complicated, and it takes time for you to play with the letters and play with the numbers to understand it. Tomorrow at 4:30, we will have a mini Zohar class, and at 7 o'clock, we will continue our study on the third temple. Shalom to all.
Shalom and thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.